Gnosticism can take many different forms, from asceticism to mysticism to hedonism, but Gnosticism is characterized by a few principles that define it, and the most significant of these is that Gnosticism is dualistic. It asserts that the material world is inferior or evil, and the spiritual world is superior or good, and human beings are spiritual beings trapped in these inferior or evil physical casings. To escape the trap of the material and physical world, a person has to gain esoteric knowledge, or gnosis, from God. The Greek root word for Gnosticism, gnosis, means knowledge. That might not sound all that evil to you, but believe me, it works out in very evil ways. For one thing, if your flesh really doesn't matter or is evil in and of itself, and love as a form of divine knowledge is what matters, then it's not a sin for a 45-year-old preacher to molest a 7-year-old girl as long as he insists that he loves her and is showing her love. Or it works another way. If the flesh is evil but the spirit is good, and spiritualism is expanded by spiritual works like soul winning, then Dave Hiles really is excused from seducing all those teenage girls and beating 15-month-old Brent Stevens until he broke that child's bones and participating in pornography because Dave did all those things in his flesh, but his spirit has expanded and strengthened because he brought so many people down the aisle at church. Have you ever heard a Christian fundamentalist excuse Dave Hiles or Bob Gray of Jacksonville, Florida, or other perverts in pulpits because these men built great ministries and were soul winners? Well, that is Gnostic thought. Their spiritual greatness makes their fleshly depravity insignificant. Christian thought is entirely different. The spiritual life is manifested through the curbing and restraint of the flesh. It's not a duality. One does affect the other. And because we have been crucified with Christ and risen to a new nature in Him, our new nature is in the power position over the flesh. One great danger of Gnosticism is its belief that esoteric practices and esoteric revelations advance the seekers of divine knowledge up through the ranks of spiritual power until they have great spiritual power over others and are more distanced from their flesh. This spiritual journey increases their knowledge of the divine will, and they may even orate the divine will with authority. In other words, Gnostics, including so-called Gnostic Christians, believe in new revelation, which comes through these spiritual gurus, and they believe that certain people have a right to proclaim new revelation with authority. This is opposed to what the Bible teaches, for the Bible teaches that it alone is sufficient for faith and practice. The canon of Scripture is definitely closed. Nobody gets new revelation as a means of personal knowledge. Now, the Bible does allow for a gift of prophecy, but that is a gift used for the church at large. It has nothing to do with personal revelations. People do not get prophetic visitations about going and buying a car. And if we look at those early church figures that were reported to have the gift of visions or prophecies, their gifts were occasional, that is, not everyday events. They were directed towards the good of the church and not towards new doctrines, and they were highly emblematic. In other words, prophecies were not easy to decipher, which is why Paul directs that prophecies be tested in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The gift of prophecy in the New Testament church, from the account of both Scripture and history, is that it was a swift, highly emblematic, often puzzling event, a quick encounter with the Holy Spirit, yes, but it was subject to human frailty. Peter saw a great sheet and a voice that said, "Kill and eat." He had to figure out the meaning. Perpetua, a martyr in the early church, dreamed of a shepherd milking sheep who beckoned her and her friends to come, thus signifying, after much discussion among them, that they would certainly be martyred, and they were. Paul stipulates that prophecies must be examined and sifted. Even in the New Testament, prophecies did not carry the weight of church authority. They were divine glimpses, not television shows or telephone conversations with God, and they were just one gift among many, and worthless if not used in love. But in Gnostic thought, these so-called spiritual giants, who advance by personal revelations, deserve obedience and, well, total loyalty. They get to recreate or redefine all the knowledge that has come before, provided they have the spiritual mastery to do so. And that's how you get Jack Hiles or Jack Scop or Jeff Owens or dozens of others opening their Bibles to read a text than closing their Bibles and rattling off what they think it ought to be saying instead of humbly and dutifully explaining what it actually says. This is why Jerry Falwell can get away with declaring that 9/11 was the fault of the gays. There are some Christians who think he's simply right because he's Jerry Falwell, even though no gay bars or gay churches were harmed in 9/11, and at least one gay man died as an American hero trying to save his countrymen. This is also why Jerry Falwell can go to Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and call the victims of Bob Gray a mere bump in the road, and everybody instantly assents to his decree. They perceive that Falwell is, or was, spiritually great enough to dictate actions acceptable to God. Yes, the Southwide Baptist Fellowship is fraught with Gnostic practices. Gnostic practices include other guru-type actions. People commonly say in fundamentalism that they have received a word from the Lord. I was once friends with an older Christian woman at Bob Jones University who treated me very badly and unkindly. I never did figure out why. When I reproached her, she told me she knew her actions had caused me pain, but she was waiting for the Lord to tell her if she should apologize. Sure, it was a cop-out, but it was a Gnostic cop-out. God does not cue us in on when we do or do not need to obey the Scripture. It used to be a joke among the girls at BJU when a guy would tell a girl that the Lord had shown him that she should marry him. So this constant conversation with God that people have in some strata of fundamentalism is really not biblical. We are given one revelation, the Scripture. We are given, some of us, possibly by the gift of the Holy Spirit, occasional glimpses into emblematic indications of what is going on in the church or what the church may face. But these words from the Lord that people have that they regard as perfect and infallible, really, that is just a form of Gnostic knowledge that has been carried over into their beliefs. It's wrong, and it actually is dangerous.